Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're about to listen to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com. JackieCation.com has the links to everything. Merch, the new album, my other podcast, videos of me doing stand-up. Dorkforest.com has all the notes and the video that you can watch of this show. Traditionally, I tell you to donate to The Dork Forest, but it is November and December. I ask that you donate to a local food bank because you should. You should do it all year, but what the heck? If you are donating to the Dork Forest using the PayPal link that gives every month, you can turn it off and turn it back on. You can do a matching to your food bank and donate to me as well. But all the money that I get from the donations from November and December, I'll give to my local food bank. And so I will get all of that sweet, sweet karma. Other than that, you can buy merch. You can, for Christmas, there's new t-shirts and stuff. But whatever it is, The Dork Forest, super fun, always available. I'm sure there's things I'm forgetting to say, probably Bandcamp, but let's get into the show. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. I'm neither in my garage nor my living room. I'm actually in a guest room. Check it out, there's masks. Do you know why? Because it's almost Halloween, you guys. Woo! Okay, I'm Jackie Cation. You're listening to The Dork Forest. And with me, Jenny Zagrino.
Hello.
You're a delight.
Thank you.
I'm psyched to have you on the Dork Forest.
Thanks for having me. Also, those masks remind me of masks you would get at a Ren Fair.
One of them is a mask that Andy made in college.
Okay.
One of them is a mask. And then the other two are ones what we bought together in Venice, a place where masks are purchased.
That's true.
Venice, Italy. Pardon me. I'm sure masks are also purchased.
In Venice, California, as well.
Sure. And anyway, so there's a bunch of masks. And then, we are here with Jenny Zagrino. And it's Z-I-G-R-I-N-O. So it's at Jenny Zagrino everywhere. Great stand-up comic, by the way. Has just recorded her special. Is this your first special?
This is my first self-produced special.
I did
a half an hour with Comedy Central years ago.
Yep.
But this is my first one where it's me. It's funded completely by fans and friends and family.
Here's what I recommend. Is there jennyzagrino.com?
There's jennyzagrino.com.
Which will link you to all of the things.
Links
the
you to
Instagram,
everything. If you want the GoFundMe to help, because we're still fundraising even after, because, you know, money
is expensive.
Yeah. Everything's expensive. The GoFundMe is at my link tree in my Instagram.
Sure. And so, but the thing is I want you to just watch some stand-up comedy of Jenny Zagrino and go, yeah, I would like to help her finish paying for this fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
And she just filmed it. When this goes up, it'll just be filmed like 2 days earlier.
And it went so great. It was so awesome.
Destroyed,
wow.
You guys.
I destroyed.
Murdered.
Yeah, they actually had to condemn the building because nothing could ever top it.
But she was carried off stage by adoring fans through
That's
the rubble.
True.
Very beautiful. Very beautiful. But we're going to dork out, and everybody should find at Jenny Zagrino, and on TikTok it's at Jenny Zagrino Comedy. But your dorkdom is all things dusty, as far
all
as I can,
dusty
can tell.
All the time.
And so, what, you worked at Antiques Roadshow?
I did. So, I was a film major at Mass Art in Massachusetts, and for the internship, I decided to work at PBS at the Antiques Roadshow, which is filmed.
That's fancy. Right.
Yeah.
That is a cool gig to get. Quite honestly, because even though it's we like PBS, so clearly there's no money, but it's cool.
That's right? Why I was an intern.
Yeah, and you're an intern, so it's just get me coffee and go shovel this sand.
Pretty much. Well, okay, so we did log tape, which I loved. I loved a lot because then I would get to watch all the tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I would watch all of them. It was this 2008 season, so if you actually look in the credits of 2008, my name is there. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I got to go through all of like the end things where the people are like in the booth being like, we brought in this spoon. It turns out it's worth shit. We loved our time at the Antiques Roadshow. So I got to choose which ones would go up for that season.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And then it was, and then there was like logging tape and just like doing busy work. Sometimes they'd let me sit in with the editor. I got to, you know, sit in with the director and just like do.
Did you get to learn about antiques?
So from the stuff I watched, yes. But the production people don't know anything about the antiques. They're just like, whatever. Apparently, the editor was at the time was related to David Cronenberg.
Who is very famous.
Very famous. But he's a second cousin or some shit and was an editor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, of antiques.
Okay.
So I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And then they had libraries of antique books. So like not antique books of antiques. So then you could like sit on your lunch and like look through all the books. But my favorite part was they had a wall where they would put up all of the crazy shit that people would send them. So like people being like, I have this 18th century chair, and it would just be a pile of sticks. Because
I have this 18th century chair. It's a tree. It's actually a tree that was planted in the 1600s. It's a really nice, really nice tree.
Sometimes I sit on it. It's a tree. Or it's a chair. But they had one like that I actually copied because it was so outrageous. It was this guy. And he had an antique mannequin from the 50s. This is vintage. It was a vintage mannequin. And he sent glamour shots that he had gotten taken with the mannequin.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Wow. We definitely need to get that away from him.
Yeah. We have to save that mannequin.
I'm not saying. I don't think that mannequin is consensual.
No,
is what
I
I'm
don't
saying.
Think so either. So he had this mannequin. And I remember the glamour shot. He was in a tracksuit, and she was in a matching tracksuit in
she?
A wheelchair. And then they had, it was just a glamorous glamour shot. And he sent in several of these pictures and was like, then he sent a letter that was like, I have this vintage mannequin. But it was like, you don't want to sell this mannequin, we all know. I don't know who buy it.
Right. And Antique Roadshow, do people get in on it? They're like, no, that's not worth anything. I'll give you $100. And then all of a sudden you own like a Picasso.
You should always, if you are going to get something appraised, mm-hmm. if the appraiser offers you money for it, don't mm-hmm. do it.
Don't do it because they've obviously seen something.
They'll be like, I mean, I guess it could be a Picasso, but I don't know. I'll give you like $100 for it. Right.
Yeah. And you're like, well, rent is due. Okay.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, shit, it was worth $100,000. And so be very, very careful.
Yeah.
So did it instill in you? Because one of your dorkdoms was antiques. Did it instill in you a love of antique?
Well, I loved antiques, which brought me to the Antiques Roadshow.
The other way.
So then it just fueled my love of the Antiques Roadshow. And then also, over the pandemic, I rewatched a ton of Antiques Roadshow. I went through, I think, a 3-month phase where that was all I was watching was just
YouTube?
Pirated Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, just wow. Because I love Antiques Roadshow, and we don't have cable, but we have rabbit ears. And so we have like 3 different PBS channels, couple from San Diego, a couple from LA. and then so there's always like an America's Test Kitchen, a Cook's Country, and an Antique Roadshow. So do I. Those two women, yes, please be my friends. They yes. are the best aunties in the whole wide world.
PBS
they are,
is the greatest. I don't know why. I mean, that's what bums me out about internet TV is that we don't have PBS. Like I don't.
You need to get rabbit ears. We have HD rabbit ears that we just jam into our fancy pants HD television. And then over the wire, it's 1,000 Armenian and Korean and Spanish speaking channels. And then MeTV and then this TV.
Oh, yeah, MeTV. I forgot about that.
Don't forget about MeTV. Columbo, it's out there. Barney Miller.
Yeah. My mom watches. She falls asleep to MeTV.
My dad loves MeTV, man. He'll watch The Rifleman forever and a day. It's the old cowboy shows. So Do you own antiques? It looks like your background.
Lots. Oh, this is just a background. This is just a background. It's definitely not real. But I own a lot of antiques currently. Here, I'll take my video off. Yeah. So you can see.
If this is a hoarder shot, this is going to be awesome.
No. I mean, a little bit, but not terribly so. I forgot how to turn my video, the weird
if
video
If you go
thing off.
To the carrot next to the stop video and go to virtual background or video, you know, yeah. Zoom, you are my friend. And choose virtual background.
None, there we
and
go.
Then you
okay,
just
so
go
that's
none.
Just the wall, but I'm going to turn the thing around.
Oh.
So you can see, like, I've got like an antique, that's a 1950s mustard yellow chair. I've got a 1900s, what's called a hosier. So it was like a countertop, and inside you would have your sugar and your flour, and you have two funnels. And so that was kind of like a modern kitchen for the 1900s.
Sure.
I have an animal deer head I got in Ohio on the road. I have art. I have mid-century.
Wait.
What?
Why don't you slow down on the animal deer head that you found on the road?
No. I was on the road and got it in an antique store.
Oh, and you purchased it. Yes.
There were guys in
my neighborhood who used to, they were like, I got a four-pointer. We're boning it. We're moaning it. And I was like, are you?
Dude, this is all a four-pointer. Right. It's 4 points.
Yeah. I was so glad that my father was not into hunting at all. We were never gun people. We purchased our meat.
My dad wanted to be, but I'm like, you're a lawyer man from like,
yeah, my
upstate
dad will,
New York.
He fished for a little while. He also golfed for a little while. He was horseback rode for a little while.
There were hobbies. Yeah,
but there was very few. I've been trying to do a bit about guns. It's not hit and miss. Anyway, well,
I've been watching you do the bit.
Oh yeah.
About where your dad shows up with guns?
Yeah. Where my dad shows up with the Derringers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's a great concept that your dad had to buy these guns so you could play in this poker game.
Playing that poker game. Yeah. It's
and
a real
the,
it's a nice
most
premise.
Useless guns.
They're the most heat. He took a keychain to a gunfight. And so.
He could have just put a bayonet on the end of them.
Right. He could have just brought a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. He would have probably known more about how to protect
like,
himself.
No, it fires. No, I also can't shoot this. Can I just bring this? Here, the pen is mightier than the sword. Anything, absolutely anything. But so you do, so you actually do own some old nonsense.
Yeah. So I actually, one of the jobs that I had during the pandemic to kind of help me survive was I was flipping antique furniture and vintage furniture. So as you can imagine, for some reason, there was such an influx of estate sales happening.
Oh my God. So many dead people.
And they would let us into these houses. Of course, we had like masks and gloves on. But I'm just like, they're not telling us how these old people died. And I'm pretty sure, like, there were so many estate sales.
Oh, Christ. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, old people who have
I'm
died.
Sorry they died. But you know what? They fucking saved my ass during
Right, because you
the pandemic.
You had rent to pay.
I had rent. So I took their things. I went through all their stuff as dead people. And I was flipping. So, like, I would flip, rattan furniture was really hot during the pandemic. A lot of like rattan, a lot of bamboo, 80s, mid-centuries, always kind of in, but it's kind of going out of fashion. Like that dark wood is like boo. People want like light wood and rattans and stuff and like more tropical, what they call like, I think it's called like jungle. It sounds bit racist.
Real? Yeah. Not even a bit.
Do you know it's what I'm talking like, about?
Oh, completely. I watched all of the Tarzan movies. So sadly, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's like called jungle low style. I don't like saying it out loud, but it's like this very like tropical right now. I can tell you what's coming into fashion is Art Deco. Art Deco is coming back real hard.
Art Deco,
but with like bohemian rattan vibes. And colors and comfy is like what's in. So I would just go to these dead people's houses and be like, what can I find? And I found like, I mean, I would find some really cool, really cool stuff. Old like Tiffany lamps that weren't actual Tiffany's because those are $30,000.
Right. Yeah.
But like Tiffany
but
lamps.
Like the- the remakes, which are actually kind of valuable too.
Oh yeah.
You know, especially if they're from, you know, the '50s and sixties. So
I have like a 1975 one that I bought that, I resold. Oh my God. I bought from a thrift store these 1940s lamps of these flamenco dancers in what's called chalkware, which is like the really like flaky light. It's very fragile. They were worth probably about $800. I sold them for $400, and then they broke in transit. Same with I bought.
So were you working for yourself?
For myself.
You're like, I'm an estate salesperson. I will go through this home and essentially try to find the treasures, but also get rid of the stuff that isn't treasures. Like, what if they just have like a circular saw or a table
sometimes
saw?
Sometimes you're like, okay, I need this. Like, I, you know, there's like a, you know, the great thing about that place, that stuff is like, they have all the kitchenware that you're like, well, I know I need some wine glasses. Get 25 cent wine glasses.
Yeah.
But also too, is a lot of the estate sales were in much older houses. We're like in like LA old houses. So I went to one house in Glendale. I got this.
Built in the 70s, you guys. Old house. Oh,
this was 30s. This was a built in the 30s.
Ooh, the 1930s.
A dark wood library, like with green velvet chair. Do you know what I mean? Like cigarette smoking, beautiful. It was an old set designer. She died. But then she also had like all this crazy art and a huge collection of photography of that 1920s. 30s filmic actress. She was in Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. That name is going to just, everybody's shouting it at their iPods. Everybody who's still got their iPods and are listening to their podcast on this are shouting. They're saying, oh, Sunset Boulevard, that woman. And so that movie, was with she had
Swanson.
Yeah.
Swanson, what's her first name?
It was a Billy Wilder movie. Gloria Swanson.
Gloria Swanson.
There we go. So, William Holden, Gloria Swanson, Eric von Stroheim. There
so this
go.
Woman had trunks full of photos of Gloria Swanson. I don't know why, but just trunks of them. And she had all this art. Very spooky. And she had like just gorgeous vintage antique furniture that has not seen the light of day because it's been in this house since the 1940s. You know what I mean? Like, and then there was this other house that I went to that was, it was actually used in movies, and it's this old mansion in West Adams. And it's just like, you go to these places, then you get to learn about this area. So it's this old mansion in West Adams. And West Adams is this crazy neighborhood where it's like, the poverty level of like wealthy to poor is so drastic and crazy by like one street, but it's old Hollywood, right? So all the old craftsman mansions are there. This was like a Georgian mansion that clearly needed to be condemned. But in the attic was 40 years worth of set design from movies.
Wow.
You know, so you just like, you go in and it's just like a museum that you can sometimes buy shit from.
Right. Because what are you doing in these houses? Is it just you?
No.
Or do you hire people?
I go, but people do this professionally where they get up early or they make connections to get the really good stuff. But it's also like you can still get a lot of really good deals and stuff and not have to be like, you know, on the up and up with the person. Great time to go to is the last day. If you don't really care, you know. Websites like Estate.
Like if you're not looking for something very, very specific, if you go the last day, you might find like a treasure.
Exactly. So like I went to one of the first ones I went to of the season of the season of death of like last fall was I went to this on the last day. I ended up buying two tall 1960s lamps for like $50 for a set of matching vintage lamps, which blew my brain.
Right. You're buying stuff and then you're reselling it. You're flipping it. That's what the words flipping.
Flip.
Furniture. Mm-hmm. That's what it means.
I sold like a lot of lamps over. I sold a lot of chairs. I sold like I would go.
How do you- And I have to tell you, I did a Dork Forest about surfing, and my weirdest question of Marie Valeriano was, where did you park? So here's my question about flipping furniture. Who packed it? The shipping.
So I would only do locally because I'm very bad at packing stuff. Apparently, I've broken everything I've tried to ship. I right now have to ship these crystal glasses that I flipped at a estate sale. Again, this stuff you don't know. I got a set of 12 red crystal glasses for $10 because it was the last day. They're like, just get rid of these.
Yeah.
And I Google it and I just sold them for $500.
Right. So you just have to make sure that they get there in one piece.
Well, I broke one.
Is that the deal?
So my set of 12 is now 11. But still, it's like stuff like that where it's like, mm-hmm. people just don't know. They don't know what they have. And if you just take a little bit of time to Google some shit, you'll find out some cool stuff that like you have something way more valuable.
My mother-in-law has a racially insensitive wine holder.
You know what? it has a place. I don't know where.
She's hoping to give it to a black family. No. And then they can do whatever they want with it. And they can, you know, because we don't know who it was made by. Like, if it was made by an artisan who happened to be black, then it holds some credence.
Yes.
Because it's just essentially a waiter.
It's folk art.
It's folk art, and it's just a waiter, a guy dressed as a waiter, and you slide a wine bottle into these spaces.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it isn't that statue next to the Natural History Museum in New York, where the Native Americans are looking up at Roosevelt adoringly.
It sounds like it also be a 1980s Pier 1 Imports.
I believe it was from the 40s or 50s.
Okay.
But I have to say that, Pier 1 Imports would definitely knock that off.
Yeah.
It's, Benetton would have made a sweater. But, it's not ideal.
There is a museum actually in Michigan that is, I wanted to go to it, but I didn't get a chance to. It is a museum of basically that kind of advertising of African Americans like through history. Mm-hmm. And it's a black owned museum, but it's kind of like a,
that's cool. I went to the Native American version of that at Crazy Horse in South Dakota. And Crazy Horse's art museum in South Dakota. Yeah. Is curated by Native Americans, and they have some of the most racist BS in the world. And all the little carts are like, this is very cool. It's from the turn of the 19th century. Please do not call us these names. This is not okay. But it is cool that this is over 100 years old. Or this is cool that this artist, you know, actually depicted our ancestors' lives in a relatively realistic, there is some record, but it happens to be on bubblegum cards with some sort of crazy ass, you know, dialogue.
Some weird shit. Please understand the context of this. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, I've definitely come across, I did one estate sale in New York back in like 2013. And it was this house from the 30s. And the interesting thing was the woman who died in it, she hadn't changed the kitchen since the 30s. Everything was 1930s kitchen. It was awesome.
That's cool.
It was great. But so her husband was a famous radio announcer during the war, during World War II. And
was
so
it
in
Admiral
the basement. What?
Was it Murrow? No, it wasn't.
No, I forget who it was. But so in the basement was all of his scripts from the war that he would read over the radio. But also he was a voice actor. So I got one of his cards. And the, like, you know, in our resumes, it says what accents we could probably do. The accents that we could do were very racially insensitive.
Not good. Not good, buddy. You're like, so you can be a dick is what you're telling me.
Yeah. And it was like, he was actually the original voice of Popeye on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can Google him if you want. You don't have to. But he's a guy.
He's a person. You can look up the person to say to yourself, that guy.
Yeah, I did buy his what are called joppers. Do you know what those are?
Uh-uh.
Those are the 1940s pants that had the weird side shit. Like,
oh.
And so they were laced on the calf and then kind of booted out on the side.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of puffy in the midst.
Bought those and I ended up selling those to like a reenactor on eBay. Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I want to know. Was there hauntings there? Because I know you're ghosty too.
I love ghosty. My fear is that I'll bring something home that will be haunted. There's definitely like, there is something to going to these houses where the person is dead and going through their shit and taking home very personal stuff. Mm-hmm, like I have a lot of yearbooks from like the 40s that have very special messages to these people, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Or I have, you know, I've taken photographs or I've bought like photographs of their family. I had like for a while, I had a family Bible from the 1830s that I had had picked up at a garage sale in Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Wow.
So it's like you have these things that clearly hold energy of the person. And then like you wonder, well, is it? Could it be haunted? I haven't had anything.
Is it full of ectoplasm? No, you haven't had a bad one?
Is it coming? Why does it look like my furniture came?
I don't remember this being quite so drippy. So anyway.
Why is my chaise lounge so creamy right now? Yeah, I mean, like I thought about that. There's stuff like I won't buy. Like I won't buy a Ouija board for sure.
We have a Hellboy Ouija board that I got for Andy when we were dating, because the movie Hellboy had just come out, and I knew he liked comic books, and we were just dating.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he liked Ouija boards.
Have you guys used it?
No, it's just it's in our kitchen. It's above the door. He put it up on the wall. And so and the little slidey thing that you make move by shaking it.
Planchette.
Is it a planchette?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
That is probably in the box that he no doubt kept because he always keeps the box.
Yeah.
Okay, good for him. Yeah.
You need it. And,
yeah, you're going to need the box.
So like, I won't buy things like that. Sometimes you can feel just like energy in a house, definitely. Even if people coming and going, there's like times that I've been like alone in a room or like on the floor by myself. And it just feels like weird. Like I was picking up I bought a 1940s bar cart from a woman on Facebook Marketplace.
Right.
To redo, because I also sometimes what I'll do is I'll refinish furniture too. For fun, because I'm like, well, why not? Mm-hmm. And she was cleaning out her mother's house, and there was definitely like a dark vibe to that house that you could just feel.
Right.
And she was the only one working in the house, and like, you know, was also telling me weird stuff about her family that sounded like they might be abusive.
Telltale heart. Did you hear any heartbeats?
I did not. But I moved into this apartment in May, and
you moved in the last year?
This year, but 2020 I moved.
Shrewd.
Because I was you know what? Prices are good. Got a deal.
Yeah.
But what I found out is that the person who lived here before died. So
at some point somebody died everywhere.
That is true. But so I moved in here and weird stuff was happening. Like I would put things down and then they would be somewhere else. I do live alone.
Did you sage?
It wasn't my roommate.
Have you saged?
I saged. There was like one point where I found my dog's leash like shoved in a shelf that like I would not have put it there.
That's the dog.
That's
the dog.
I don't think Lupe shoved it. She's this tall. The shelf was up here. I think she would have to do some real weird gymnastics. But just like stuff where, you know, I remember putting a needle down when I was sewing and then turning around, the needle was gone. And the next day I found the needle like in a doorway. And just like little things like that. And then I was telling my mom, I was like, Mom, I think my house is haunted. She's like, shut up. Because she's a Russian lady, doesn't give a shit.
Right.
And
you know, you got to get the right Russian lady.
True.
Kira Sultanovich will talk to you about the hauntings. And she's Soviet Russian, though.
Oh, yeah.
So it's... Yeah.
My mom is Soviet Russian, but she has no time.
That's, you know what? I love that. I love that there's different people in with different, the same ancestry. It just means that humanity remains consistent in the fact that you're going to either get a spooky old Russian lady or you're going to get a very pragmatic old Russian lady.
Yeah, literally is like, I don't have time for this shit, Jenny, okay? Oh, your house is haunted, so grow up. Like, that's my mom. People are dying, okay?
Oh, my God. By the way, I am talking with Jenny Zagrino, you guys. It's JennyZigrino at Jenny Zagrino everywhere and at Jenny Zagrino Comedy on TikTok.
Thank you.
Feel free to check out her stand-up comedy. And if you like it, find her GoFundMe, which is all linkable on her Instagram, which will pay for her special. And if you could throw, $20 or $20,000, do it.
Yeah.
Because she's got people.
$20,000.
Right. Lose $20,000. Right. Knock yourselves out.
$20, no big deal.
Right.
So then maybe like a few weeks after moving in, I got a letter from the cemetery up the street. That was like a survey. That was like, how are we doing?
Could we be the ones to bury you? I love those. I love those.
Do you like us to bury you? And then a few weeks later, the woman who lived here called me and she's like, I'm looking for this letter. Has it shown up? And I was like, no, but I'm getting all this mail for this guy. And she was like, oh, that's my husband. He died 6 months ago in the hospital. And I was like, oh, okay. And like for a while there, I was like waking up pretty consistently at 3 a.m. every night. And like feeling like in the corner of my room, like there was like a dude. And, I kind of had to like have a talk with whoever's here and being like, yo, your family's not here anymore. You're welcome to hang out, but don't ever show yourself to me.
You're right. Please don't freak me out.
Yeah. And occasionally I'll hear like weird things in the house. Like I had a new table that I had bought or an estate sale table that I had bought. And I heard three very distinct knocks on it from when I was in my office. And there's nothing that could have done that.
Right, right.
Just weird shit.
So just noises.
Just noises. Weird. I think sometimes like the veil becomes like there is a veil between whatever then and now. And it gets a little thin and then they just show up and are like, hey, what's up? And then they go back.
Hey, what's up? And do you think this has anything to do with Halloween? Because we are right around Halloween right now.
No, this has been going on consistently for a year.
Over Easter. And it wasn't Jesus.
Jesus.
It's been happening.
He did not show up. He was not like, hey,
Christmas. He was born then. There's no ghosts at Christmas. Oh, except for the Marley Brothers.
That is, I do every day. I listen to ghost stories every day. And I watch Ghost Adventures. There's this
Have
podcast.
You seen Ghosts?
The show?
On HBO Max, have you seen Ghosts?
Well, I auditioned for that show, and I didn't get it. Oh,
the American version.
So I don't watch things that I didn't get.
Let me tell you something
about it.
The British version is an entire improv troupe who landed a sitcom.
That's amazing.
Hilarious. Yes. It's kind of amazing because they also have chemistry that you can't recreate with just actors in the first season. And it takes, you got to be in the trenches together doing weird freeze tag or whatever improv people do. But that's 12th century.
Just throwing a ball around?
Word ball.
Did you like the first season of Ghosts that came out on HBO?
HBO Max, the British version, the first two episodes, I was like, third season, I'm so in. There's three seasons. It's the premise because they're trying to do a remake here at the United States, but it is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It is really funny, and it has really good chemistry between these eight people. And in the basement is a trench that had plague. It's a trench full of people. It looks like about 60 ghosts are down every time they have to go like a deal with like the electrical.
Yeah.
or the furnace. They have to go into the basement, and there's always 60 people down there who are in a plague pit.
See, I love that. I love anything that has ghosts in it. The American version I won't watch, but that's just my ego getting in the way, which is fine.
That's just ego, which is fine.
I was also going through like I auditioned, I literally auditioned. And then the next day I went into recovery, for an eating disorder. And then I got a call back that was like, you're second in line to get this role. And so I'm like, oh, cool. But then also like, oh, fuck, I just started my recovery. So it was like this whole kind of mind fuck. And then I ended up not getting it. And then I was like, well, fuck, now I got to be in fucking therapy for the next 4 months.
What about, how'd recovery go?
Fine.
Well, good. It's right. You were just like, well, at least you didn't have to say I can't do the callback because I'm in lockdown.
You know, I 100% would have said fuck recovery. I'm gonna go be an actress.
I'll fix it next year with a giant bag of money.
Yep.
And I'll get
to go to a nice recovery and not fucking the one my insurance paid for, which was up the street, and then I got kicked out because insurance was like, you're cured now, right? You're good.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, our healthcare system is broken.
Yeah, exactly. So many things are broken. But because I have a bit that's on my new album, you guys, coming out the 16th. Wait a minute. It's coming out this very day. The day that this drops is the day
we're dropping it.
Yeah, the day that this will come out is the day that Staycation, now available everywhere, you guys. Feel free to buy it and thumbs it up. Oh, but here's the scoop. Because I have a lot of friends that are into ghosts. Mm-hmm. Karen Rontowski. Do you know Karen Rontowski?
Oh, Karen has done my tarot numerous times, and she's been right. So many times.
She's actually really good at it. In addition to being a great comic, Karen Rontowski, she's actually super empathetic and kind of has a real good vibe for the sort of paranormal. And I don't know anything about it. Every time I think there's a ghost, I'm like, is the house settling? What's happening? And so I'm your mother, essentially, where I'm just like, I don't have time for this. You guys, if you want to be ghosts, go be ghosts in a different room, please. If you want to be ghosts.
That's such a great line. That's how you got to talk to them. You got to be like, look, I ain't got time for this shit. You want to move stuff around? Fine. I've definitely had lost things in the house and been like, yo, dude, just like, please give me my stuff. I have to go. I have a mic to go to. I don't have time for these ghostly games. Like, just give me back my keys.
Right, just give me back my keys. I'm looking for the dog leash. The dog wants to go out. Let us let the dog out.
There was one time I was meditating in my room, and this is going to sound all sorts of crazy, but when I'm on my period, I'm definitely much more like psychic and like energy stuff. It's like, you know,
many things are happening. A lot of things are happening.
I remember I was meditating and I had to meditate on something. And in the middle of me meditating, a plant fell on me. And I was like, oh, that was weird. And so I like put the plant back up and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back to meditating and like focus on this thing. So I went back to meditating and then immediately a bird hit my window. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get out of the room. I just feel like someone doesn't want me in this room right now.
Are you using this room? I take it you're using this room. Would you like me to go somewhere
else?
Maybe
he's like jerking off in the back.
Exactly. It's
just go.
Oh my God.
My ghost loves to jerk it. No big deal.
No big deal. Is it? That's the weird thing. Is we're now assigning gender and sexuality to your ghost when it's just a floating brain box.
Yeah, but he might also have a floating dick attached to his floating brain box.
Well, I saw that ghost movie with Patrick Swayze. He had a ghost dick.
Did they fuck? They fucked in that movie.
They fucked.
They ghost fucked.
Yeah, I think they ghost fucked. This one's definitely going to have the explicit on it, you guys.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
guys. Keep saying go. A lot of fucking. That'll happen. So what I want to know, I don't know. Tell me more about antiques, I guess.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, well, what do you want to know? Like, what do you like? Like, is there an era that you like? Is there like...
Well, you know, Andy designed our kitchen.
Okay.
Because we have the house was built in 1952.
Okay, great. We bought this house. So you definitely have ghosts in there.
So, well, this house was built in 1952. It has never been renovated. It had the same electrical system when we moved in.
Oh, no.
As of right now, we got an amazing deal. But let me tell you about the flipping of this house. And I believe in transparency. But so we bought this house in 2004. And when I say we, I mean Andy, who worked at PlayStation, Sony PlayStation. So I moved in and then we married and then I became half owner of a house.
Yes.
So, but he bought this house. But the people who sold him this house flipped it.
So it was a shitty flip.
Yeah, so it was like 2002. They bought it for like $150,000.
Yep.
This house, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, Van Nuys, California.
Give out your address. Let them know.
5,000-square-foot lot, and so they sold it 2 years later to us for $350,000.
Okay,
so
still a good deal in terms of now, but
well, and now supposedly it's worth $750,000, which 100%. Is banana land, because it is a 966-square-foot house.
Yeah,
it is adorable, and this is what I liked about it. When we were looking at houses, because this is how he asked me to move in. He was like, I'm thinking of buying a house. I'd love you to help me pick it out and move into it with me. And I was like, that sounds terrifying. Because we had been dating for almost a year, a little bit less than a year.
Okay.
And he was like, it's going to take 6 months. Don't sweat it. When we found the house, he was like, I said, what do you think about me subletting my apartment? Because it was 1-bedroom in Van Nuys, $450 a month.
Oh my God! What?
With off-street parking, and he said, it doesn't feel like you're really committed to the relationship, but I understand you got some trust issues. Do whatever you got to do. And I said, okay, I'll give it up.
Yeah.
And that house, that apartment right now goes for $1,800 a month or whatever. And so, when we were looking for the house, he was like, what do you want out of a house? And I said, I want a house to grow old in. So I want it to be one floor,
yes.
One story. I also want there to be a gas stove, and I want there to be a backyard so that I could do a vegetable garden if I got inspired.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want citrus trees. And I was like, and I need a bathtub. And he's like, it'll have a bathtub. Anyway, so it has all of those things. But it is very small, but it is one floor. And there's literally like 3 steps to get into the house mm-hmm. and out of the house. So I can be 78 years old and live in this house.
That's true.
That's the greatest thing about it.
Put a ramp on it if you need to.
We put a railing up for his mom, and I just sprained my ankle, and I was able to use that railing because that railing's pretty sweet now.
See, that's great. Like that's...
Okay, so we never did anything to the house.
Okay.
We painted one wall. 10 years later, I hated our kitchen floor. It just had this sort. It was the original 1950s floor.
See, I love that
linoleum. It was no, it wasn't. It had been replaced, but it was linoleum and it was gross.
Oh, it's probably like 70s linoleum or some shit.
Yes. And so we hired, he hired a guy to come in and rip it up. And what I love is that he hired a guy to come rip it up and they found asbestos.
Sick.
Because they didn't do it in the right order. You're supposed to just peel it up and then check for asbestos and then peel it up. And they went right down. They're like, oh, there's asbestos. This is going to cost an extra $3,000. And he was like.
Just so you know, everything has asbestos in it from the 50s. Your tiles have asbestos. Everything in the house has asbestos. Everything.
Yes, absolutely everything. And so Andy was like, well, you're fired for doing it wrong. And I was like, you fired a contractor? That's gutsy stuff. And then
that's so hot, babe.
It's super hot. So hot. And then he found a new one. And it was slightly more expensive, but we went in with the knowledge that we were going to have to, you know, and he designed our kitchen floor. And what I said was I wanted our kitchen floor to look like a Doris Day movie.
What?
I wanted it to have that color palette.
Okay.
Those bright sort of red, blue, you know.
Yeah.
And so it is a very brightly colored and the tile that they used is essentially... It's a commercial industrial tile. So he's like, when we actually redo the kitchen, we're going to blow out this wall and that wall, and we're going to actually have seating for more than three people in this kitchen.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't want to touch this house. I want to leave it. And then when we die and we sell it to somebody, they will completely burn it to the ground and build a McMansion, and it'll be whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the floor is super cute. It's got it's diamonds and then a border, a red border, and then blue and yellow diamonds.
So it's very fit. It's like got that 50s vibe 60s to it.
Vibe
so
to
you're
it.
Like,
yeah.
It feels like your vibe is going to be like this tiki 1950s. Like
I like this bohemian rattan vibe, except for I hate rattan and bamboo.
Okay.
But I like Art Deco. But if that's going to be expensive now, we shouldn't look into that.
Well, okay. So there are lots of things you can do to your existing furniture to kind of give it that vibe, right? So it's a lot about geometric shapes. It's about curves. So like arches are really in right now. A lot of like arches. You could paint on your wall an arch or a mural. Murals are in. Everyone loves a fucking mural.
Mm-hmm.
It's about like bringing in more of like these kind of or a little bit more organic. It's like a more organic Art Deco. So if you look at the 1930s, 1940s, so Art Deco is like 20s to the 40s.
Okay.
It's very like these like repeating geometric shapes. Like think of pretty much any post office in downtown Los Angeles is like okay. An Art Deco building, right? I don't know, you know, I feel like I'm sounding like I'm an expert. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about most of the time, but like,
but you love it.
I love it. So like, there was a style of like dresser that's called like a waterfall dresser. So okay. Like it's the dressers that they go and they curve down versus like a square top. Right.
Okay.
So you can get like curved furniture, right now, very like pastel-y pinks and mint greens are kind of in. So like
okay.
Pink and mint green's a great color, but also like a lot of like sage or emerald green. So it's like, it's either going to be this kind of sandy vibe or you're going to get these really rich tones, like rich purples and emerald greens to kind of bring back like the luxury that was like Art Deco of like the 1920s. 1930s, mm-hmm. Not so much. There was not a lot of luxury going around
okay.
At
fair
the
enough,
time.
Fair enough.
Uh-huh. You can always bring that kind of stuff in. Plants is a great way also to like bring that kind of energy, that bohemian energy, especially into the house.
Sure, sure.
If you're going to do like a bohemian style, like vintage stuff, I would look for personally. I know you don't like rattan. Or yeah. Bamboo, but I would look for.
I think
like,
in a previous life, I was tortured to death with bamboo.
Probably.
That's what I. Why I don't know why I don't like it, but I do not.
I cannot get into the 1970s dark wood, like what's called. I think it's called Mediterranean style.
Oh,
do you know what I'm talking about? Like it's the 70s, and it's very like almost like opulent. But dark wood and like plastic and shit. It's bad.
It's where it's sort of the on the walls, you mean? Where everything's sort of we had a fake brick wallpaper on our walls in the 70s.
That's fabulous.
It was so fabulous in the kitchen. It was just in the kitchen. It looked like gray brick if you were very far away from it, which was very hard because the kitchen wasn't that big. But it was puffy. Like it was 3D. And if you
There's
touched it.
There's so much asbestos in that shit.
It was empty.
You, not
you could
mutate
crack it. Oh my God. Why am I not? Are you kidding? My mother drank like a fish when I was in the womb. And why am I not mutated? Why don't I? But I know that there's so much, like, what is your favorite thing? That sort of 50s thing? Or do you like more of a 20s vibe?
The Great Gatsby. I used to like it. I don't like mid-century furniture anymore as much because I'm not.
Have you seen too much of it?
I've seen too much. I feel like it's overplayed. I have a couple of mid-century pieces, like, in my bedroom. My dresser is very mid-century, but it's also got a lot of nice curves to it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what's happening now. When it veers too much into the 80s, because the 80s was also a repetition of Art Deco.
Okay.
I don't like it as much because it just reminds me too much of, like, growing up in, like, the Midwest. And, like, just bad black lacquer furniture.
Oh, that black lacquer. When I moved early 80s, Nancy and my dad and my stepmom got all black lacquer, white carpeting, black lacquer bed and matching end tables that my father still has, by the way.
Oh my God. Are they like kind of shell? It's like got a shell design to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very 80s, but also that's kind of taking from the Art Deco of like the 30s.
And it's super bow chicka bow bow, where you're just like, oh, do you guys still do it? Thanks. Too
they
much
definitely
info.
Did.
Yeah,
they definitely do. They're all up in it. Now, like, here's the thing is I've tried for so long to, like, have more of a better style in, like, the furniture that I have. It always ends up being medieval, and I can't fucking help it. Like,
medieval.
I always go to, like, medieval. Victorian vibes,
okay.
And I'm just
steampunk?
Like
steampunk.
No.
Okay,
don't you dare.
I don't mind steampunk. I own a pair of Amelia. I have an Amelia Earhart hat. That's what I've got. I've got a fake Amelia Earhart hat.
That's okay.
With goggles. That's good times for me.
That's 1920s. There you go.
That's the 20s.
Yeah, the 20s. But what's unique about, like, steampunk is it's just historically inaccurate in every way, shape, and form. And
you don't want a submarine that's shaped like a fish but has a periscope? Because we have a sculpture.
Of wood.
It's actually made of fake brass, I think.
It's all fucking brass. Like, look, I love brass. Love a brass. Love a copper. But this fucking, why do you have a monocle on your hat? That's very... makes no sense.
You don't want to collect typewriters? I don't mind steampunk. It's but that's because some of that stuff just it makes me laugh, and it's just a cool. It has great toy value for me, quite honestly.
True.
But medieval makes me think that you want to serve people food in like one bowl
I
kinda trencher.
Would love to do that.
Yeah,
that
you're just like
great.
Here it is. Here's the meats on this side. The veggies on that side. Work your way. Work your way that way.
I wish my style was more minimalistic, kind of like almost like a desert Airbnb kind of feel to it. But it just always ends up being so like almost like not brutalist isn't the way to say it. Brutalist architecture is like that 70s architecture. That's like if you ever think of the city in Massachusetts, in Boston, the city hall
Worcester.
Is brutalist.
Okay.
About
2 years ago when there was still traveling, I was in Eastern Europe performing for the troops, and we went to a place that used to be a Soviet base.
Yeah.
And it was the most depressing, I mean, gulag looking, brutalist. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then that was, I think, Bulgaria. And then in Romania, the Soviets had come in, and for some reason the Bulgarians got involved or the Romanians got involved, and it looked like a fake American Western town.
That's crazy.
It was hilarious and also super spooky. It was a little too much.
I wonder how haunted that shit is.
That looks pretty
so
fucking
many Soviet ghosts.
Oh my God, there's a lot of Soviet ghosts in all of Eastern Europe.
My mom took us to St. Petersburg, and she told me at the time, this was a few years ago, but the old Soviet buildings, the apartment buildings, are worth a lot because they're so well constructed and like bunkers.
Serviceable. Yeah.
So you can't hear your neighbors. Like I can hear my neighbors all the time, but like those buildings, it's fucking concrete. You cannot hear anybody.
Right. So what you want to do is you want to build one of those brutalist apartment buildings and then put like a facade on it that makes it human.
Yes.
And then allow some decoration within, because soundproofing is huge. It's I saw a tiny snippet of a little docu thing, mm-hmm. a documentary kind of thing about there are these 150 square foot apartments outside inside Tokyo for 20 and 30 somethings mm-hmm. where there's no room for a chair. So you can, and then it's a loft. It's a bunk bed. You've purchased essentially a bunk bed. And if you sit on the floor, you can reach your microwave. You can reach your fridge. You can reach the door. You can, and then you go up into your bed and watch TV and play on your laptop.
That sounds so depressing.
So depressing. I was like, this is not a wise use of space. No. I was in Hong Kong and the guy that booked me had like 150, 200 square foot apartment, and his bed was like a Murphy bed. He was like, there was room to put like a tiny desk and a tiny kitchen and a tiny all. It was small, but it was a whole place where you could live as opposed to a locker. Like this thing seemed like you were living in a locker.
That's insane. I in New York, like, when we were looking at apartments, we looked at all the pre-wars. It was like 1,300 square feet to a family. Like, it was like regular shit. And even now, modern apartments, I'm like, how do people raise families for $3,700 and you get 700 square feet?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to have like a family.
We had less than, we had probably 1,200 square feet with five kids. My brother.
That's a lot of kids.
We were stacked on top of each other like cordwood.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't great.
It was one bathroom, and it was a lot of work. It was there was some scheduling issues.
Yeah,
and but we all lived.
You're not selling me on this. I'm not being sold.
No, I'm not saying it was a positive experience. I'm just saying, like, what would you like in an ideal world? Would you want to have like a small house and decorated to the nines? What would that look like?
So my ideal is I would love to have a 3-bedroom house with a back house in the mountains. I don't want to live in LA. I would like to live in like the mountains. Actually, like up in like Altadena, that area.
Yeah.
Very cute. And I would love to have an older house, but they suck and there's so much work.
Right, there's a lot of work.
And dead people. There's always ghosts in all those fucking houses.
Right, new houses, though. Somebody might have died in it.
That's true. Or you might even get haunted by, like, someone died near the house or some shit.
Right, or someone died on that spot when it was Neanderthal times.
Exactly.
And that guy's still hanging out, like the guy in Ghosts, the British version.
The Neanderthal one.
The Neanderthal guy, who was always like, Muna, there is the Muna. And that's what he calls the moon.
Oh.
Because it's always been there before the house. Yeah.
I wonder why, like, if people know they're dead, why they don't just move on? Because sometimes they don't. But if they do, what's here? What's so great?
What's keeping you here? Guys.
What's keeping you here? You really liked your 2-bedroom apartment that much?
What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? And anyway, but yeah, so like in Altadena, if you had just sort of a small craftsman, like one of those ones that's in Pasadena or South Pass.
Like a cute craftsman.
Yeah.
Ideally,
and then
I would move.
Then like a guest house in the back.
Yeah. I mean, ideally I'd move back east and I'd buy an 18th century home.
Interesting.
And like Cambridge. I'd also be very wealthy.
You would have to be. And then, but if you bought an 18th century, those are always two stories.
I'm fine with that.
Well, now, but 40 years from now, when you're 75 years old.
I just will never go upstairs ever again.
Right, right. You'll be just like, I'm going to need an elevator.
Yep.
And I'm going to need one of those chairs that goes up the staircase.
Yeah. Or okay, do you ever watch, what is it? It's on Netflix. It's a British show about people who build their dream homes.
No.
Okay. Well, it's the show there, and I would love to build a crazy dream home in the middle of like the hills of Yorkshire.
Oh, wow.
And then also
In England?
In England.
Like Yorkshire, England.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm done with America. Why are we here?
And then sort of you run out and see those people from Wuthering Heights and their bad life choices.
Yep.
All right.
And I go, right. Mr. Darcy, is that British? I forget.
That is. That's Jane Austen.
Yeah.
And sure.
Maybe she is from Georgia. You never know.
You don't know.
She's from Savannah.
Soviet Georgia.
Yeah.
Jenny Zagrino, it has been an hour.
Thank you. What a great hour it was.
We meandered, but it was super fun. We learned things about each other.
I tend to meander a lot.
Oh my God. Welcome to the Dork Forest.
I just want to be around old shit. I mean, I currently am around a lot of old shit because I should probably clean my house, but. Oh, can I show you? Let me show you something that I bought that I think is fun.
Everyone should know that the things behind me, by the way, are merch. Yes. I'm sorting merch on the bed in the guest room.
So I bought this antique store, and it's like a little thing that says antiques. The only one interested in what your grandmother had was your grandfather.
I get it. Huh? Come on. Huh? Bow, chicka, bow, bow. And that's like a tapestry of some sort. Yeah. That's like a little bit of cross stitch going on.
It's a little bit of cross stitch. I don't know where it came from, but I bought it.
Because you want it up there. Because you know what that is? Old timey dick joke.
It's an old timey pussy joke. That's what that was.
Right, right. Are even rarer.
That's covered in ectoplasm. You can't tell them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rangers of the Dork Forest, you have been listening to the Dork Forest with me, Jackie Cashin, and Jenny Zagrino. Jenny Zagrino can be found at Jenny Zagrino, Z-I-G-R-I-N-O. It's at Jenny Zagrino everywhere, Jenny Zagrino Comedy on TikTok, and JennyZagrino.com. Feel free to go check out her stand-up, and when the new special comes out, watch that, thumbs it up, and go fund it. If you want to support it, it just got recorded, so she's still paying it off. So help it out if you want to. Thanks for being on the show, Jenny.
Thank you.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?